In depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Usable news and information for your job. And now, here's Francis Rose.
Welcome to the program for Thursday, December 23rd, 2010, on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. My last live in-depth show of 2010. Tomorrow it's the best of for Christmas Eve and all next week. And I'm back the first week of January with brand new shows. In hour number two of the program today, two interesting experienced government experts with their predictions for 2011. Karen Evans, the former eGov administrator, joins me about an hour from now. And at about 2:30 this afternoon, Dr. Charles Hertzfeld, formerly of DARPA, who he was the official that started ARPANET back in the 60s, and he'll join me with some just fascinating insights as to what we should be thinking about conceptually in 2011. That's hour number two of the program on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Pleased to welcome to the program in hour number one right now, Alvin Tucker, Executive Director of the American Society of Military Comptrollers. He is running in good company. Your predecessor in that job is now the comptroller at DOD, Robert Hale. It's great to meet you and great to have you in the studio, Al. It's nice to be able to talk about these things.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Happy to have you. You have a tremendous resume when it comes to doing financial management in the federal government. Lots of experience at DOD, overall 34 years of experience, including working as Deputy IG at the Department of Housing and Urban Development, Deputy Assistant Inspector General at the Office of the DOD IG. So you know from whence you speak when it comes to issues of financial management. I'm looking forward to this conversation. Probably the number one issue in financial management across government is the issue of improper payments. And we were talking about that a little bit before we went on the air. The administration has made improper payments a very high priority. Danny Werfel's talked about it on a number of occasions. And this is an issue that the government's been wrestling about with, as we talked about before, but we went on the air, for a very, very long time, isn't it?
Yeah, at least 20 years, if not more, depending on where you want to measure it from.
Mm-hmm. What's historically been the approach or the challenges in dealing with improper payments that the agencies have had to work with?
Well, the major challenge is to be able to quantify them, which now they're doing through statistical means, to get a sense of how big the issue or the problems may be in various programs or parts of the government.
Mm-hmm.
After that, though, of course, then it's identifying individual improper payments, much harder than the statistics don't. The statistical approach doesn't give you much in the way of individual improper payments.
Mm-hmm.
So the government's approach now, it appears to me, to be to reduce the amount of improper payments at government agencies and organizations by preventing them in the first place through better procedures and what we now call forward-looking business activity monitoring, which is monitoring the transaction as it flows through your system and identifying markers that would tell you that perhaps this transaction has got some issues with it or some problems that you need to investigate further before you send it out.
If we look at that approach as a two-track approach, monitoring the payments that you're making and then also going back and auditing what you've already done, is that enough? Are we doing what we need to do to try to lay a groundwork for reducing the total number if we look back at this 5 years from now or 10 years from now?
Well, I think it's enough now given what the technology is.
Mm-hmm.
As we improve our ability to identify markers and to identify processes and systems and technology that will be more forward-looking on it, I think we'll improve. But right now, I think they're doing what they can with the resources that they have.
Mm-hmm. Talk about the impact that technology has had on these kinds of analyses, because I imagine there are things going on now that you maybe never even dreamed of not long ago. I mean, a lot of people make comparisons to 10 and 20 and 30 years ago, and I think a lot of those are kind of specious because we're doing things now technologically that 5 years ago or 2 years ago we weren't sure we would be able to pull off.
That's right. 20 years ago, it was a paper and pencil drill.
Mm-hmm.
The auditors, for instance, in medical fraud, had to go into the records, had to go in down and do the work that was necessary to identify improper payments and bill cases. In the Department of Defense, people literally had to and didn't have Excel worksheets, had 13 columnar pads,
mm-hmm.
and had to try to identify that.
Mm-hmm.
As we look at it now, certainly the methods to doing the statistical analysis are stronger, and you can get the data from the systems more easily, and you can stratify more easily and begin looking at specifics. And you also have the ability now to be forward looking,
mm-hmm.
with certain kinds of technology, often referred to as business activity monitoring. That's looking at a transaction as it's flowing through the system and identifying things, for instance, like duplicate numbers on a voucher or an invoice, that indicate perhaps this needs a deeper look before it's paid.
Mm-hmm. You said something that stimulates my brain about the issue of the challenges the Pentagon's dealing with financial management.
Mm-hmm.
I've had a number of folks on the show, including Dov Zakheim, the mm-hmm. former comptroller,
yeah.
was on a couple of weeks ago. And I always ask folks the same question, and that is, I understand financial management at the Pentagon is hard. It's a huge operation and so on and so forth. But how did we get so far behind the curve? And the answer generally was, it's just really hard. And that's understandable. It occurs to me that when you have a large organization like the Pentagon, are we still potentially seeing the residual effects of making that original paper to electronic transition? And because the bureaucracy that's being dealt with is so huge and the transformations are happening on such an ongoing basis, essentially, that's not really helped the organization to be able to get in front of the curve and to be proactive about building up their financial management capability?
Well, historically, may have to go back 40 or 50 years.
Mm-hmm.
The audit community generally stopped doing financial audits of activities.
Mm-hmm.
And they began to focus on performance audits as well as compliance audits. So the skills that were necessary was kind of lost in the audit community and had to be rebuilt again when the CFO Act was put up.
Mm-hmm.
But then the focus of financial management in those years, and still true today very much, is on appropriations and obligations, because that's the life's blood of the government. Congress wants to control appropriations and agencies want to be sure that they are within the law concerning obligations, commitments, and expenditures.
Mm-hmm.
All of that's very different than the information that's in the financial statements, which a trial balance is as of a date, and you have an income statement. Now, you do have a statement of budgetary resources. You have cash flows and other things, but those things were not a focus of the federal government before the CFO Act, and they're not much really a focus of the federal government. Now, these documents, for the most part, are not used in decision-making.
Mm-hmm. I want to talk about the CFO Act, its effect on the financial management community and government at the time, and what your thoughts are about it moving forward and whether we may be in line for a revamp. I talked to my friend Linda Springer a couple of weeks ago about what a CFO Act of 2010 might look like. And let's talk about that some when we come back from the break. My guest is Al Tucker. He's executive director of the American American Society of Military Comptrollers. We'll continue our conversation in a moment on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Attention, if you're attempting to lose weight, please stay tuned for an important opportunity. In a 6-month clinical study, participants lost an average of 30 pounds without changing their eating habits or routine. Now, Sensa is conducting a market trial in this listening area. If you're trying to lose weight, you are eligible to try Sensa free for 30 days. Call 1-800-400-7910 now to request your free trial. Participation in this free trial does not require any dieting, pills, or change in lifestyle. In fact, we only ask that you continue your current eating habits. Just use clinically proven Sensa, the same weight loss breakthrough you've seen on Extra, Dateline NBC, and America's Newsroom. Your satisfaction is guaranteed. If you want to lose weight, you are eligible to participate in this market trial. For your 30-day free trial, you must call this number now. 1-800-400-7910. That's 1-800-400-7910. 1-800-400-7910.
Looking for high-flying excitement for your group in the heart of the nation's capital? Easily accessible by metro or by car, get the thrill of college hoops right here in Foggy Bottom. Your organization can enjoy a special discounted group rate and watch the Colonials in their quest for the Atlantic 10 Championship. For rates, dates, and more information, visit www.gwsports.com or call 202-994-6050. That's 202-994-6050.
FLIR Systems has a singular focus on providing thermal imaging night vision systems for search and rescue, surveillance, and force protection across the globe. We proudly support the men and women who serve, defend, and protect by providing leading-edge technology to enhance mission success. Today, customers trust in FLIR Systems' thermal imaging products and rely on our responsive support worldwide. Visit FLIR.com/GS for more details. FLIR Systems, extraordinary vision for extraordinary heroes.
I'm Police Officer Sergeant Goodwin. I've been looking into a report of thieves operating in this area. We have now located their hideout, and it's at your local bank. The banks are robbing you blind.
Hi, I'm John Commuta, creator of the Transforming Debt into Wealth system. He's right. If you've got a mortgage, your bank is stealing from you because a typical monthly mortgage payment is 90% or more interest. And over the life of a 30-year mortgage, that can cost you a fortune. It should be illegal. But there's a proven way to eliminate your mortgage and all your other debts using just the money you already make. No credit card debt, no car payment, no mortgage. To prove it, let me send you a copy of my powerful Live Debt-Free CD. Call 1-800-700-3013. Stop getting robbed of your money and future. Get my powerful Live Debt-Free CD. Call 1-800-700-3013. For your free copy of my Live Debt-Free CD, call 1-800-700-3013.
The Dorebeck Insider, hosted by award-winning journalist and free thinker Chris Dorebeck. Engage your mind every afternoon from 3 to 7 as Chris engages the best minds in federal procurement, management, IT, and human resources. The Dorebeck Insider takes on subjects critical for an efficient government. Chris's guests answer the questions you want answered. Tune in to hear how the news shapes your daily interactions in the federal space. The Dorebeck Insider, weekday afternoons from 3 to 7, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
We're back on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Al Tucker, the Executive Director of the American Society of Military Comptrollers, my guest for the hour. And we made reference earlier in the program to the original CFO Act. Talk about the impact that, well, give us a little primer on where financial management was before the CFO Act, what the chain of events was that led it to be, to come about, why people wanted it. And maybe if there were some people who didn't, why they didn't. And then tell us how the financial management communities evolved in government since the CFO Act.
Wow, that's a long story.
Well, we got time.
Okay, good. When I first got involved in it actually in 19, 89 before the act was enacted. There was a group of people in the government who were sort of a rump CFO council.
Mm-hmm.
That would meet over at OMB, and there was a fellow there called Frank Hotzel, who was at OMB. He was promoting the CFO Act within the government, in conjunction with Chuck Bowser, who was the Comptroller General at that time, and the two of them together, plus people on the in Congress, Mr. Conyers and Senator Glenn were behind it in the Congress.
Mm-hmm.
These forces all came together and managed to get the Congress to approve it. There was one blip, a congressman, a very important congressman at the time called Jamie Whitten,
mm-hmm.
who had the Appropriations Committee, did not like it. He tried to get the Congress to reverse that decision, and they would not.
Mm-hmm.
So the act moved forward. Now, the act that at first was more, I'm going to say, an act of faith,
mm-hmm.
because the government really didn't have the capabilities to implement all of the requirements within the act, certainly in the year of implementation. And it took a number of years before the government could do that.
Mm-hmm.
Some agencies are more successful than others. The things that the act did that were really important, they did move the financial management in the form of a chief financial officer up the chain, up the hierarchy,
mm-hmm.
within the government.
Mm-hmm.
It created a comptroller in OMB, and it created a deputy for management in OMB,
mm-hmm.
as well as a deputy for budget.
Mm-hmm.
So it created an infrastructure that was not there.
Mm-hmm.
And over the last 20 years, that infrastructure has worked to gain tremendous amount of success in achieving some of the objectives of the act. Now, they haven't achieved them all.
Mm-hmm.
There are still agencies that, for instance, have not gotten an opinion on their statements. They're still getting disclaimers.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot of underlying work that's going on within those agencies, as well as all other agencies, to improve many things. Big investment, of course, is in financial systems.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to improve the quality of financial systems, the speed, the accuracy, the ability to mine those systems for information. That's very expensive.
Mm-hmm.
And there are billions of dollars that have been spent and will be spent,
mm-hmm.
in the future on continuing that effort.
Mm-hmm.
In the meantime, of course, the auditors have built up a capability to do this. Some of them, the IGs, are doing them in-house,
mm-hmm.
but many of them have outsourced that work to independent accounting firms.
Mm-hmm.
And it's actually proved quite a boon to the industry of accountants,
mm-hmm. yeah.
as you can imagine.
Al Tucker's my guest. He is executive director of the American Society for Military Comptrollers. And when we come back, I want to talk a little bit more about the implications of the CFO Act and maybe get your thoughts on tools, resources that the financial management community and government still needs. The Act is, what, 20 years old now,
yeah.
a little bit older. And obviously the business has changed quite a bit in that time. So let's talk a little bit about what you would like to see the financial management community and government have access to when we come back on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. A reminder, in hour number two, we'll dig into the Predictions 2011 series with former eGov Administrator Karen Evans and Dr. Charles Hertzfeld. That's the second hour of In-Depth in about a half hour from now. In the meantime, more with my conversation with Alvin Tucker when In-Depth continues.
Finance and CNBC Radio. Stocks are mixed. The Dow is up 12. The Nasdaq is down 4. Wall Street is digesting a batch of economic reports. The Commerce Department says Americans spent more last month and personal income grew. Fewer people filed for unemployment benefits last week, and orders for durable goods, excluding airplanes and automobiles, rose by the biggest amount in 8 months. More people bought new homes in November, though not enough to signal better times for the housing industry. Americans are in a more upbeat mood about the economy. Consumer sentiment shot up this month to its highest level since June. As holiday travelers head for the airports, train stations, and bus depots, AAA says travel for Christmas and New Year's is expected to be up about 3% this year. More than 92 million people are planning to go more than 50 miles. Oil prices are sitting at their highest level in 2 years. Crude is above $91 a barrel. The Dow is up 12. The Nasdaq is down 4. Tanya Hansen, CNBC Radio.
Want to make the holidays even happier? Treat yourself to the ultimate gift from Honda. Right now is the perfect time to lease the Honda vehicle on your wish list. Come in today and see why Honda has the highest loyalty of any automotive brand. Or go to shophonda.com to build and price the present you really want now during Happy Honda Days.
Loyalty based on MY09 Polk statistics as of January 2010. Honda had the greatest percentage of households return to another new Honda vehicle.
This holiday season, give the most eternal, unique gift of the year. Name a star after someone. I'm Rocky Moselle with International Star Registry. For $54 and a call to 800-282-3333 or visit starregistry.com, we'll name a star after anyone on your gift list. The star name will be recorded in book form in the U.S. Copyright Office, and we will send an incredible personalized gift package. Call the Star Registry, 800-282-3333, or visit starregistry.com for the gift that shines forever.
This was revealed in December 1995.
This is NIH Health Matters. I'm Joe Belinfi. Childhood obesity can increase risk for many health problems.
The epidemic of obesity among children and adolescents is now regarded as one of the most important public health problems in the United States.
Dr. Jill Reedy, a nutritionist with the National Cancer Institute, has published a study analyzing national diet data.
And these findings are very consistent with other research from our group here at the National Cancer Institute, as well as others, really adding another piece to the rather disturbing picture that's emerging about the nation's diet in crisis.
For more information and tips on fighting childhood obesity, visit the website wecan.nhlbi.nih.gov. Health Matters is produced by the National Institutes of Health, part of the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
The men and women of our National Guard and Reserve Forces are working hard on the battlefield and here at home. Employer support of the Guard and Reserve is working just as hard for them. For over 36 years, ESGR has paved the way for greater understanding between our Guard and Reserve Forces and their civilian employers, promoting a culture where all American employers support and honor the military service of their employees. Together, we all serve. To learn more, visit www.esgr.mil.
There are those who dedicate themselves to a sense of honor, to a life of courage, and a commitment to something greater than themselves. They have always defended this nation and each other. They still do. The few, the proud, the Marines.
Hi, I'm Denise Ballou of the FBI. The case was revealed in December 1995. Operation Senior Sentinel targeted illegal boiler rooms and telemarketing fraud.
The case was hugely significant in that it's one of the few, if not only, instances I can think of where an entire crime problem was basically wiped out by very focused, dramatic investigation.
Keith Slaughter is special agent in charge of FBI San Diego. Formerly in Miami, he initiated the undercover operation that evolved into Senior Sentinel.
These were telemarketers who were really, really bad individuals who were promising big prizes and a lot of different things, preying on customers, especially the elderly.
Many were conned into losing their life savings, but the tables were turned.
Instead of using undercover agents in those cases, we used a combination of retired agents and retired citizens affiliated with the AARP to pose as victims.
Ultimately, about 1,200 arrests and hundreds of convictions. I'm Denise Ballou of the Bureau on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
With the announcement from the Office of Management and Budget on cloud computing as the default approach to IT, the Cloud First policy is expected to reduce the federal government's more than 2,000 data centers by 40%. Join Afcea Bethesda and Dave McClure from GSA for a panel discussion on the Federal Data Center Consolidation Initiative and the expanded use of cloud computing with federal IT officers from Energy, State, Interior, and NIST at the Bethesda North Marriott on January 13th. To register today, visit afceabethesda.org/janbreakfast. We're back on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. My guest is Al Tucker. He's Executive Director of the American Society of Military Comptrollers. And we're talking about financial management, not just at DOD, but all across government. Al has 34 years of government experience, including, you get some pretty nice credentials here, recipient of the Defense Medal for Distinguished Civilian Service, twice named Meritorious Senior Executive by Presidents of the United States, and a graduate of the University of Maryland. Maybe later on we can talk about the whole Ralph Friedgen thing and see what you think about that from an auditor's perspective, because that seems to have generated a bit of controversy around town. Poor guy. He's an alumnus, and, well, anyway, this isn't sports talk radio.
Distinguished alumnus.
Very distinguished, as a matter of fact, yeah. 8-4 this year. At any rate. Oh, by the way, the Military Bowl in which Maryland will be playing will be on this radio station next week. So a little bit of information between about next week. We're talking about financial management issues in government, of course, Al. And we were talking about the CFO Act before. I'm wondering what you think, maybe not necessarily what a CFO Act would look like today if an update were drafted, but maybe what resources CFOs need now or should have now, maybe even things they don't even know they need. But we were talking before about the kind of melding of the C-level executives in government, different C-level executives kind of reaching out their tradition, out of their traditional sphere of influence. And that's happening at the CFO office as well. So talk a little bit about what tools, resources, maybe skill sets CFOs should have or be asking for at this point.
Well, of course, many of the CFOs have probably in place many of those skill sets. Now, holding on to them may be somewhat of a problem, given the fact that there's probably a bunch of crunch coming in government spending.
Mm-hmm.
So holding on to it for many CFOs will be the issue.
Mm-hmm.
Some CFOs who still working towards, particularly on systems or improving systems, probably need money,
mm-hmm,
more than anything else, because the systems are expensive, particularly if they are ERP systems, which is enterprise resource planning systems. Those systems are very expensive and they require a lot of effort and money. And of course, mm-hmm, there's most of those are implemented by contractors, and there's going to be a crunch on contractors. For many CFOs, it's going to be fighting to keep in place the capabilities they have with the people they have,
mm-hmm,
to do it. For others, for the future, I think most CFOs are looking at analytics. Some of them are looking at predictive analytics also to think about where things are going. Looking at ways, as we've discussed, ways to reduce improper payments. Some of that will be technology driven. So they're going to need money for those kinds of technology.
Mm-hmm.
The task of Well, some other CFOs, as we discussed earlier, you know, not all the CFOs have all of the authorities or capabilities that they would like to have.
Mm-hmm.
And they would like to have more responsibilities over certain parts of the financial structure. Not all of them control budgets.
Mm-hmm.
Most of them do, but not all.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them don't necessarily control all the expenditures mm-hmm. either. So there's they would like some more control, I think. But in general, they know what they have to do. But those who haven't gotten there yet also know it's hard.
Mm-hmm. All of these conversations, too, no matter whether we're talking about financial management or anything else in government, always seem to come back to technology, which we've talked a little bit about
yeah.
when it comes to resources and so on, also workforce.
Yeah.
I wonder if, since you're talking about, we've talked a number of times about predictive analysis, and I wonder if the workforces in the CFO offices at a number of these agencies are prepared for this wave of predictive analysis that's coming, that the technology is allowing them to do it. Do they have the people on staff to know how to do it and be able to manage it, I wonder?
I wish I knew the answers to that, Francis. I don't know enough about individual departments
sure.
to know whether they've really built up that capability. I know that the IG and Department of Defense has been very strong on predictive analysis and mm-hmm. is moving forward on it. I don't know whether they have the strengths that are necessary. Of course, if there is a budget crunch,
mm-hmm.
Being able to bring on that strength is going to maybe very difficult.
Yeah, it's another area that underlines something that we talked about with Paul Rowson from World at Work yesterday. He's an HR expert, and we were talking about the idea that there seems to be a curve where the kind of talent that agencies need to hire is escalating. They need higher levels of talent, more sophisticated talent, and the ability to compete is becoming more difficult, especially as if the economy continues to improve. Private sector firms will start to hire again, and the agencies will find themselves not only competing for new talent, but with a potential pay freeze in place. You can find out more about the pay freeze at federalnewsradio.com. The potential exists for a lot of people that are in government to at least get a little bit of a wandering eye and start to look around and see what opportunities are available.
Well, I think you're right. We did a very small survey of our members, of the ASMC members, asking them their reaction to the pay freeze. Very small percentage, less than 8% said that it would cause them to look for employment elsewhere. Most of them said that they just have to tighten their belts
mm-hmm.
and do it. But of course, that doesn't address the issue of people who are coming to the government, who want to come to the government, whether they see the opportunities there. I just don't know what the market looks like. I know what the market looks like amongst my friends in the community.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it doesn't look good,
mm-hmm.
but overall, whether the government was going to be able to attract these people, I certainly hope they can, because the government, to me, the government is one of the most important functions in human society, and we need real strength in it to keep a strong government.
Mm-hmm. Al Tucker is my guest. He is the executive director of the American Society of Military Comptrollers and has a long and distinguished public service career. And we talked a little bit about, before we went on the air, about the defense authorization bill that's passed Congress now. The president's expected to sign it. And I want to get into some of the details that pertain particularly to financial management and to your predecessor Bob Hale's current job when we come back on Federal News Radio 1500. AM. It's In Depth with Francis Rose. We'll return in a moment.
My name is Abe Lincoln, and I've been thinking about this cool place that you can go. It's a website that I speak of called USA.gov. It's government information online, and that's mighty fine. USA.gov. Got questions on your log cabin? Housing answers, yeah, they have them. USA.gov is your official source. Get Social Security info, whatever that is. ID theft prevention tips, because that's your biz. Even change my address, and I don't mean the Gettysburg. Find government auctions, jobs, apply for student aid. Hey, I wouldn't lie, I'm honest Abe. It's government made easy for the people. Take it from the dude in the stovepipe hat. USA.gov is where it's at. So don't wait 70 years to check it out. And that, my fellow Americans, is what I'm talking about.
Why do I serve in the U.S. Navy?
For freedom.
Freedom of religion.
What America stands for.
Why do I serve in the U.S. Navy? For honor.
Everybody. And watch out for everybody.
Freedom to vote.
Democracy.
Freedom to go outside and play with my kids.
I joined the Navy to serve my country.
Every freedom that we have.
The right to raise our kids in peace.
My little brother.
My wife.
My kids.
Our children's children.
The United States Navy.
It's not for ourselves alone that we serve.
Newsmakers on the Dorbeck Insider.
Manish Chopra is the Obama administration's chief technology officer.
The ecosystem that's been born out of the open health data movement, I believe, is one of the shining lights.
Of course, it's great having somebody like Todd Park over there.
We've got chief technologies officers at the VA under Peter Levin and Jim Shelton, who runs innovation over at the Department of Education. All have demonstrated results in fostering these ecosystems to not only publish the data, but to do something meaningful with it.
Hear the entire interview online. FederalNewsRadio.com/Dorbeck Insider. The Dorbeck Insider, hosted by award-winning journalist and free thinker Chris Dorbeck. Engage your mind every afternoon from 3 to 7 as Chris engages the best minds in federal procurement, management, IT, and human resources. The Dorbeck Insider takes on subjects critical for an efficient government. Chris's guests answer the questions you want answered. Tune in to hear how the news shapes your daily interactions in the federal space. The Dorbeck Insider, weekday afternoons from 3 to 7, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
We're back on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Thank you for listening today to my conversation with Alvin Tucker. He is Executive Director of the American Society of Military Comptrollers. He is also a former Deputy Inspector General at the Department of Housing and Urban Development, Deputy Chief Financial Officer at the Department of Defense from 1990 to 1997, among other distinguished points of service in and out of the federal government. I appreciate your time to be here today, Al. It's great to have you on the show.
Thank you.
We were talking before the break about the defense authorization bill that's passed both houses of Congress, is now headed to the president. He's expected to sign it. And I want to take you to one point in here about financial management and see if I'm reading this correctly. I played a hearing over the summer that Robert Hale, the comptroller at DOD, was testifying at this hearing. And it was the hearing at which he revealed that DOD had to change the deadline, or wanted to change their deadline to getting to a clean audit opinion from 2011 to 2017. And I want to see if I'm getting this read of this defense authorization bill right. And I'm not going to read the whole thing because there's a lot of the Congress language here that's not really English. But this says, not later than 90 days after the date of the enactment of this act, the Undersecretary of Defense Comptroller, in consultation with the Deputy Chief Management Officer at DOD and a number of other officials, and it lists them all out. It says, shall establish interim milestones for achieving audit readiness of the financial statements of the Department of Defense, consistent with the requirements of, et cetera, from last year's defense right. authorization bill. What that sounds like it's saying to me is, sounds like Congress is saying, Mr. Hale, we'll take it at your word that you need till 2017 to do this, but we need to see very consistent, very concrete, very firm milestones between now and then so that we can continue to ascertain in 2011 and 2012 and so on and so on, that by the time we get to 2017, we're not going to have a case where you're going to say, well, it won't be next year. It'll have to be four more years, or his successor will say that. They want closure. They want to know exactly what the plan is. Am I reading this right?
Yeah, I think you are. The the department that also requires them not only to report or to report milestones, but to report on milestones and to report when milestones are missed and what corrective action will be taken, as well as do some other things to figure out how to incentivize the department or various parts of the department to reach the goals that are set there, as well as it gives the department an opportunity to recommend different approaches to valuations for a real property and other property that's a real hurdle for the department. So I think you're right. I think the department has accepted Mr. Hale's proposal, and they just want to see the T's crossed and the I's dotted on it.
All right. I'm going to put my cynic hat on for a second and say you've used the word incentivize a couple of times, both on the air and off the air, when it comes to getting to this clean audit. The cynic in me is saying they shouldn't need to be incentivized. That's what they're supposed to do. Agencies should be able to demonstrate a clean audit opinion to Congress and through Congress to the taxpayer. So explain, when you use the term incentivize, what that means exactly, what your vision of that is.
Well, that's hard to say because I'm not inside the Department of Defense, so I don't know what they are thinking about in terms of incentives. And I don't want to gainsay.
Fair enough. But to what end then, without specifically identifying the incentives, providing incentives makes what difference above and beyond just the fact that this is what is expected of the agency?
Well, there is a problem within the agency, which it's very difficult for them to see the value of financial statements. There's very little within a financial statement that you would actually want to read to find out anything important mm-hmm. about the Department of Defense. You mm-hmm. want much more granular data mm-hmm. on it, and you want you can't plan a military operation based on your financial statement.
Sure.
And you can't talk about how I'm going to prosecute a war.
Mm-hmm.
So the value of the statement isn't obvious on its face to people. Now, there are other people who are saying, who have gotten into it, not only in Department of Defense, that other agencies say, look, when I do this process, I find lots of reasons and lots of issues and problems that I have to correct, and those things save me money.
Mm-hmm.
So that's part of the thing that that Secretary Hale is trying to bring forth out of this, and then this is going to cost a lot of money, Francis.
Mm-hmm.
I think the department's estimate is that it could cost $200 million a year
mm-hmm.
to do an audit of the Department of Defense each year, because mm-hmm. once you do audits, you do them each year.
Right.
So one of the other things in that act is to recommend ways to reduce the cost of the audit.
Mm-hmm.
And so there may be some incentives in that. It's a very, because the Department of Defense is the largest single human institution in the world
mm-hmm.
ever,
mm-hmm.
Extends far more than, say, the Roman Empire ever did, that it's a vast enterprise
mm-hmm.
with many, many people in many, many locations and lots of stuff
mm-hmm.
all around the world. So it's not an easy thing to do. And you really do need to show, particularly the military, the value of it.
Mm-hmm. Alvin Tucker is my guest. He's executive director of the American Society of Military Comptrollers. The time goes by so quick. We'll mm-hmm. be back to wrap up our conversation in just a moment on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. It's In Depth with Francis Rose. We'll be right back.
Diabetes leaps. From the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, I'm Ira Dreyfuss with HHS HealthBeat. More people are getting diabetes, and people who have diabetes are living longer with it. And when you put the trends together, you can see a tidal wave of disease heading toward us. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention projected the numbers to the year 2050. Dr. Ann Albright.
We can expect 1 in 3 to 1 in 5 to have diabetes. Currently, we're at 1 in 10. So that gives you a sense of what we're looking into the future if we stay in the course we're on.
Albright says the stakes are too high to let this happen. CDC and its partners are working on initiatives, but individuals can prevent or control diabetes with proper eating and physical activity. The study is in the journal Population Health Metrics. Learn more at hhs.gov. HHS HealthBeat is a production of the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. I'm Ira Dreyfuss.
Video teleconferencing solutions are changing the way people communicate by breaking down walls and enabling face-to-face communication, regardless of distance or environment. Tanberg, now a part of Cisco, developed Break Down the Walls to provide a window into the ways government, education, and healthcare organizations are using VTC solutions to help them operate more effectively and efficiently, and the ways video solutions can be used to address challenges facing public sector organizations today. Learn more at BreakDownTheWalls.com.
I'm not just some tall drink of water, you know. I mean, I wash your dishes, I do the laundry, I help put out fires. I'm always there when you need me. 24/7, at home, at work, just about anywhere. And I'm not expensive, but I have great taste. Well, I guess I am a tall drink of water, but I'm tap water, and that makes me special. For more information about what only tap water delivers, visit drinktap.org.
Hi, Tom and Amy here from the Federal Drive. In this holiday season, it's good to remember the less fortunate people in our community. But you can do more than remember.
You can make a contribution to the Salvation Army. Each year, the Salvation Army raises thousands of dollars for local charity organizations.
Amy and I will be ringing the bell for the Salvation Army this week.
You'll encounter Salvation Army bell ringers at shopping sites throughout the D.C. metro area.
And from both of us,
Happy Holidays!
Good news for the uninsured and the insured. U.S. Healthy People 2020 Network is now offering annual health physical to the public. Members receive comprehensive health assessments for hypertension, thyroid, kidney, osteoporosis, diabetes, cholesterol, heart screening, and more till the year 2020. Find out your risks for heart attack or stroke. Take the extra step you and your family need to stay healthy till 2020 and beyond. Call 301-386-2223 or visit ushealthypeople2020.org for details. Sponsored by Prevent First, a nonprofit health organization.
We're back on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. My guest is Alvin Tucker. He's Executive Director of the American Society of Military Comptrollers. And in just a few minutes that we have left, are you optimistic that the tools that DOD has, the way that this is laid out in this defense authorization bill, is a good plan that is going to both help the DOD understand where they are and get them to where they need to be with a clean audit in 2017, and at the same time help Congress explain to taxpayers where the money that's going to DOD is going?
Well, my first reaction to that is the department needs a plan that is agreed to by the Congress, because this is going to be very expensive and a very difficult row to hoe. Hopefully it can be done by 2017. But remember, I was in the department in 1990 when the act was passed, and I thought it might take 5 or 10 years, and it's been 20 years. So I'm very cautious about making a prediction. Mm-hmm. But certainly without this kind of plan, without the strong support of the Congress, because it's going to cost money and time, and it will not happen.
Mm-hmm. You know, if I try to boil down what you're saying, it almost sounds like the title of a GAO report. Progress being made, but more work still to be done.
Maybe that's because I've an old broken down auditor.
It would be fascinating sometime, I think, to sit down with you. A career that's as distinguished with members as diverse as the audit community must have their own language, comedy, and everything. It must be fascinating to...
Yes,
be a part
yes
of that.
It is. It is. And amongst the auditors, we tell stories.
Yes.
We try not to do it out of school.
I really appreciate your time being here today. It's been a pleasure to talk to you, and I'd love to have you come back at some point and continue this conversation. There, I think it seems to be a lot for CFOs and auditors and government to be optimistic about, although there are some challenges ahead. It'd be great to have you weigh in on those from time to time.
Thank you very much.
Al Tucker is the executive director of the American Society of Military Comptrollers, also a veteran of the Federal Service, a member of the senior executive service since 1979, recipient of a number of awards, and holder of a number of distinguished positions inside the federal government. My guest for the hour on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Our conversation will be posted later this afternoon at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth. You can hear it there, learn more about Al, and learn more about the American Society of Military Comptrollers. In hour number two of the program today, we'll bring you more in our Predictions 2011 series. Former eGov Administrator Karen Evans with some predictions about IT in government next year. And then in about a half hour from now, Dr. Charles Hertzfeld, a very, very big thinker, former director of DARPA, and who started started ARPANET in the late 60s. And he'll join me at about 2:30 this afternoon to talk some more about what he expects to see in 2011 and beyond in the federal government. It's In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Back for hour number two in just a moment.